As I said this morning, tonight we're going to escape from Sodom. We all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'd like for us to look to the book of Genesis, chapter 19, and let's begin reading with verse 15 and continue through verse 17. This is the main part of the story. I wouldn't read the earlier parts because it's so lengthy, but let's start with verse 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass that when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you will be destroyed." Now, you know, you think about that for just a minute. Someone comes to your house and tells you that your life is about to change drastically in this manner. The buildings around you, maybe the house you actually live in, all around you are about to be destroyed. And now you need to follow me. You need to get out of here or else you will be destroyed with it. How are you going to handle that? Many of you have been living where you live now for many, many years. How are you going to handle the fact that all of a sudden this has got to change? I've got to literally run for my life. And I've been here for so long. I've been so secure for so long. Everything has been so good. And now I've got to flee, or else I will be destroyed. This has had to go through the mind of Lot and his family as the angels took them by hand and literally drug them out of the city. Now, I want to give us a little background on this story before I get into what I really want to talk about tonight. We know that from Genesis chapter 13 that there was issues between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen because their animals were so many and they could not basically get along. So Abraham comes to Lot and he gives Lot a choice of land that he chooses for himself, a direction that he wants to go in. And Abraham said, "Whatever you choose, I will go in the opposite direction." And we know from this story that Lot chose the plains of Jordan, which included the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding areas. And we know that Abraham went the other direction and settled in the land of Canaan. We also know that in Genesis chapter 18, when God reveals his plan to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham pleaded for mercy from God on behalf of the two cities. And he started out by saying, "Lord, let me see if I can find some righteous people living in these two cities. Let me find 50 righteous people." And the Lord said, "Okay, if you can find 50 righteous people, I will spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah." Well, he was unable to find 50 righteous people. So he comes back to the Lord and he says, "Lord, maybe I can find 40 righteous people." The Lord said, "Okay, you find 40 righteous people and I will spare the cities." And again, Abraham was unable to find 40. So then he drops it down to 30. No luck. He drops it down to 20. Still no luck. And finally Abraham said, "Lord, if I can find 10 righteous people, will you spare the cities?" And God said, "Yes, I will." Lot went to his family, his daughters and sons-in-laws and family, to try to get them to flee with him from the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. If they had been with Lot as righteous people, there were the 10 people to save the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But they refused to do so. Therefore, Sodom and Gomorrah were to be destroyed. So Lot was given instructions for his salvation and for the salvation of his family. Verse 17 again, escape for your life, he said. Do not look behind you. Do not stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you will be destroyed. I want to suggest to you today, in a spiritual parallel to this story, that you and I must escape the Sodom of our life. And when I say that we must escape the Sodom of our life, I'm saying we need to simply stop sinning. Sin is Sodom for us. The sins that we commit in life is like living in Sodom, the city that was filled with sin. You know, repentance is demanded upon all of us to become children of God, to change our lives, to fall in line with God. Jesus said in Luke 13 and verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. It's interesting to note that on the day of Pentecost, when Peter and the other apostles preached the gospel to those thousands upon thousands of people that were there in the city on that day, Peter said, first of all, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is interesting to me that the first thing that Peter said was, repent. There has to be a change of life. And friend, that change of life has to take place before you can be baptized into Christ and come up as a Christian and be a Christian. If you go to baptism with sin in your life, you will come out of baptism with sin in your life, and you've done nothing but get wet. There has to be a change of life when you become a child of God. That's why Peter said, repent. And Jesus said, repent or perish. In Acts chapter 17, Peter finds himself in the Areopagus. He is surrounded by a bunch of people who are following all of these false gods that live at this time. And then he looks at these people and he said, look, truly these times of ignorance, what is ignorance, by the way? It simply means I don't know any better. That's what ignorance is. This time of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands men everywhere to repent. There must be that change of life on the part of all of us if we intend to follow God as a child of God. Now, here's another thought we need to know about. If we don't stop the sin that is in our life, if we don't escape sinful Sodom in our lives, the result is spiritual death. Paul says it, Romans 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul tells the Christians there, and you he made alive, who were dead in the trespasses of sin. You were guilty. You were condemned. But now, because of your obedience, God has made you alive because you made that change. We've all been there. There are times in all of our lives that we need this repentance in our lives if we want to live according to what God has given to us. But you know, the sad thing is, sometimes we find ourselves entangled in sin. You know, John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But in other words, we're lying to ourselves. And the truth is not in us. My friends, there is great danger in not repenting. There is great danger in not escaping the Sodom of your life. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 20. Peter tells us, and he's talking about people who have known the Word, people who have obeyed the Word. Listen to it. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in other words, you're a Christian, okay? They are again entangled in them and overcome. Listen to this now. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Now, I don't know if this is teaching degrees of hell or not, but I know one thing it is teaching. If you continue in sin, the result is spiritual death. Peter says it here. Paul said it here. John said it here. We must be careful to escape our Sodom in life. Now, another thing. If we're going to escape to life, it means that we're not going to be able to look behind us and see what we're leaving. This is a warning that come from Jesus. Now, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 9, beginning with verse 57. Now, it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Hey, isn't that a wonderful thought? This is one of Jesus' followers, and he is so dedicated. He loves his Lord so much, he says, God, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And what Jesus is saying here, you want to make this choice? It's not going to be an easy one. It's going to be difficult. There may be times you won't even find a good place to sleep. Now let's read on. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go preach the kingdom of God. Now, in all probability, the man that Jesus said this to didn't have a father who had just passed away. The principle behind this is this. Your top priority in life is to preach God's word. It should come before anything physical in life. It should come before having the finest home, the finest car, the finest bank account. It should be your number one priority in life, period. Let these other things take care of themselves. They are of lesser importance. Then he says this. Another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell at my house. Now, that sounds pretty reasonable, doesn't it? You know, when we make trips, we tell our loved ones goodbye. Just last week, Alan and Mandy traveled to the Smoky Mountains for a few days, and it took them a half an hour to get away from us because we kept saying, bye, we love you. Have a safe trip. We want you to be safe. We want you to be happy. Come back to us. And what's wrong with that? Not a thing in the world. I feel bad if I don't do it. In fact, we have called the kids back and said, did we forget to say we love you? Because the love's there. And it should be there. And that's a fine thing. But listen to what Jesus said here. Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, what's he trying to tell us here? As Christians, we are to go forward in our Christianity. If we turn around and look another direction, well, look what happened to Lot's wife when she turned around and looked back. She turned into that pillar of stone. You know, I remember as a boy, I did help my dad some on the farm. My granddad had a humongous farm, and my dad always grew a garden there. And he always took me with him when it was time to work it. And I got to help plow some of the rows that we put our seeds in to grow our vegetables. My daddy could plow through the straightest, most narrow road you ever seen in your life. My rows did this. I could not make them straight. You know why? Because I kept turning around and looking to see where I'd been. And I wasn't paying any attention to where I was going. That's what Jesus is telling us. If you're going to live that Christian life, you forget what's behind you. Paul said, I have forgotten what's behind me. And I am moving on. I am pressing on to what is ahead of me. And that's what we're expected to do as children of God. We are not to stop and look behind to see what we've done or see where we've been or see what a mess we have made. But we are to look forward to see what we can do. Because if we look back, we are not fit, Christ said, for the kingdom of God. Now, some of us who are older and can remember days gone by with fondness, we ask ourselves, well, what about those good old days? What about them? The good old days, those so-called good old days, them days when sin was a part of your life and you enjoyed living the way that you lived then and you had such good times and you just can't imagine going without them. Listen to what Paul said about the good old days. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Now catch this next part, it's important. Having no hope and without God in this world. What about them good old days? Them good old days of sin when you were without hope. And you were without God in the world. My friends, to escape sin, we have to have a change of heart. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. In other words, you can't have God and the world together. Those two do not go hand in hand. You will either hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. So you've got to make a choice as to what you are going to choose in your life. Is it going to be God, or is it going to be the world? You see, Jesus wants our hearts as well as our bodies. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, even though they considered themselves very righteous, they never developed that change of heart. And Jesus told them in Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9, he says, these people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So my friends, if you want to escape your Sodom, it is going to be because you have had a change of heart and you know you need that change of heart and you should desire that change of heart. And then to escape your Sodom and escape for your life, it means that you get as far away from sin as possible. You know, sometimes we want to impress people, don't we? And sometimes we want to impress people the wrong way. Jesus tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 33 and 34, he says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness, he said, and do not sin. But you know, so many times we see the sin and we think, oh, this is not so bad. And we get a little closer so we can see it a little better. And we get a little closer so we can maybe even touch it. And we get just as close to it as we possibly can without trying to go over. We want to be close to it. And Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. We need to abhor that evil. We need to cling to what is good. And you can't cling to something when you're far away from it. We can't cling to God. We can't cling to our Christianity if we find ourselves riding the other side of the fence. Now, that word abstain means to stay away from. Paul said, flee youthful lust, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, and abstain from every evil form. Get away from it. Get as far away from it as you possibly can. You know, the plain, as it mentions, Lot chose the plain of Jordan. To be in the plain meant that you were numbered as one of its inhabitants. And the plain is a place of bad influence. As Christians, however, we are to go in the opposite direction. We are to become separate from those who are in the plain. Paul tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch that which is unclean, and I will receive you. Get as far away from it as you possibly can, or you're going to find yourself stuck in Sodom when the destruction begins. And we have to be careful of that. And then, to escape from Sodom and escape for our life, it means that we are to escape to the mountains. That's what the angels told Lot. Don't stay in the plain, he said. Escape to the mountain. We can escape to the mountain. Who is our mountain? Who is our rock? Jesus Christ is our rock. It is through Jesus Christ that we can escape our Sodom. It is through Jesus Christ that we can escape sin. You know, we read earlier from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, those who go back into sin after leaving sin, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. That means that it is obedience to God that brings us out of sin. It is continual obedience to God that keeps us out of sin. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Disobedience, on the other hand, brings forth death. Listen to Paul, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Do you know what Paul is trying to tell us here? We need to go to the rock. We need to go to the mountain. You know, I love this scripture from David, the psalmist. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. This is one of my favorite psalmist readings. I will lift my eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That's how we make it to the mountain, folks. Through our Lord. So let me ask you tonight, in closing this lesson, where do you live spiritually with your life? Are you living in Sodom? Or are you living in the kingdom of God? I want you to know tonight that if you find yourself in Sodom, you can still escape Sodom. You can still escape sin that has come over you in your life. If you're not a Christian, you can obey the gospel tonight, and the blood of Jesus Christ will wash the sin from you, and you will be clean and pure and white as snow. And if you are a Christian, and if you have gone back into the world, I tell you, my friend, you're living in Sodom all over again. But you can still be free. If you will walk away from Sodom, walk away from sin, and give your life to the Lord. Escape for your life, it says. Escape from Sodom by obeying the Lord. If you need to respond, please come while we stand and sing this song.